Good morning again. Good to see everybody here this morning. So, over the last few days, I got to experience something new that I had never experienced before. And while that might sound like something fun to all of you, many of you have experienced, and you're going to know that it's not fun. I got to experience, at least as far as I can remember in my lifetime, the wonders of strep throat. I get an amen from anybody on that. Now, all of you that shook my hand are like, oh no, should I have done that? Don't worry, I got started on antibiotics Friday. They say after you're on antibiotics 24 hours, you're not contagious, so I shouldn't be contagious anymore, so I wouldn't worry about that. I'm usually not one to go to the doctor. I'm from a family of hardheads who don't like to do that, and we only go when we really need to go, and I didn't think I needed to go until Thursday evening. Thursday evening, my temperature got over 103 degrees, which has only happened to me a couple of times in my life, and I had a weird night. You know those nights when you're trying to go to sleep and you have a high fever and your mind plays some tricks on you? Maybe if you've been there, maybe you haven't. And you're trying to make yourself go to sleep and you can't like shut your mind off. It's like, I guess because it's overheated, it just won't stop, right? And so it's doing these weird things. And every time I would look at the clock, it would have moved like 10 minutes when I would have felt like it should have moved a couple of hours. And I could not make myself go to sleep. Finally woke up or got out of bed at like 6 o'clock and made plans to hit up the Care Now as soon as it opened at 8 o'clock and got everything taken care of. Cortisone shot, antibiotics, made me feel wonders better in a couple of days. But if you have been in that moment, if you have been, for whatever reason, in the middle of the night where you know you need to go to sleep, and the more that it eludes you, the more you know you need it. And the less you get of it, and especially if it stretches over time, you've ever suffered with something that I've never experienced, insomnia. I'm usually one that can sleep through anything. But if you've ever experienced that deep need for sleep, you know what it's like to need something. When is the last time you really needed something? I mean, really, really needed something. You see, when in our culture, when we talk about need, we usually talk about, like if we miss lunch, we'll say, I'm hungry and I need food. And we will be hungry. Our body is signaling us through the rumbling of the stomach that we are indeed experiencing the need for food, some sort of sustenance to get us through the rest of the day. But still, that need for food is nowhere near the need for food that some other people experience. If you ever watched any of those survivalist shows that come on the Discovery Channel, or you've ever been to other parts of the world where food is more scarce than it is here, you will see people that aren't just hungry, but people that are actually starving. And what their body does to itself, the body begins to feed on its own muscles and its own organs. That is a different level of need that most of us, I know that at least myself, have never experienced. If you were to try to hold your breath for the next minute, and I don't suggest it to anybody, but if you were to try to hold your breath for the next minute, many of you might be able to, but you would find at the end of that minute that you needed oxygen, that you really, really needed that next breath. And so what is it like to need something? And in that vein, do you need God? I mean, really, really need the presence of God in your life? The answer is simple. Yes, of course you do. We all know the answer to that question. But do you know, do you realize how desperately you need God? That's where we're going to camp out this morning. This morning we're going to talk about something that will hopefully be able to show us all and remind us all how desperately we need God in our lives and how that is the best thing possible, to need God with that sense of desperation. We're going to talk about fasting. Yeah, I know this isn't the most popular topic, and that's why we're going to look at it in a different way. What I want to do is to encourage you to sacrifice good in exchange for best. To sacrifice good in exchange for best. As we continue with our study on the Sermon on the Mount that we picked back up several weeks ago, back in Matthew chapter 6, we see that Jesus addresses this issue directly in Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18. And that's where we're going to be this morning. Again, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Jesus says this, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, I almost preached this passage a few weeks ago when we started back in Matthew chapter 6, because it goes, in a sense, hand in hand with what Jesus talks about in the first several verses of Matthew chapter 6, when he's dealing with the matters of prayer and giving, and he's saying not to make a show out of it, but to let it to be done in secret. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Go into your own prayer closet and pray where no one can see you, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so that element is definitely present in this passage, but I still wanted to separate it for a reason, because we don't talk about this issue very much in the church today. But the hypocrites definitely fasted for the wrong reasons. They fasted to be seen by others. They fasted, which means to give up food in their day for a period of time. It was usually from sundown to sundown. Maybe they would eat sparingly at night, but they would at least forego big meals, drinking only water. There were different kinds of fasts in the Bible, but that was the primary one. But they would do it in order to be seen by others. And they would usually do it on market days. The hypocrites would, the Pharisees would, when they knew they would be around people. And they would cover themselves in sackcloth and ashes to show that they were in this season of fasting for God, when it was really supposed to be between them and God, an idea that had been set up long ago in the Old Testament. And when Jesus says that they would disfigure themselves, that word actually means that they would make themselves invisible. And so what that means is that they would have so much ash on themselves that they would look unrecognizable. And so the interesting part about what they're doing is it's backfiring. They're doing it so that people would see who they are, but then they wouldn't even know who they were when they were walking through the streets. And as Jesus said again, as he said back in the first several verses, they get their reward in full. Yeah, people are going to know that they're fasting, but that's the only reward they're going to get. And so Jesus looks at the ones to whom he is addressing the teaching, and he says, when you fast, and then he begins to give them instructions on fasting. Jesus assumes that this was a part of their life, fasting, was a part of their spiritual journey. Jesus himself fasted for 40 days in the wilderness after he was baptized. Many of you remember that story, when he encountered Satan in three unique ways and resisted temptation. He fasted. We know that that it was an extreme fast, 40 days, to represent all of the other 40s in Scripture. We know that other people fasted. We see the early church fast a number of times in the book of Acts. Paul speaks of it as part of his own spiritual journey. It was something that many Christians did. We also see it several places in the Old Testament when people are waiting in expectancy of hearing an answer to a prayer from God. But for some reason, we have dropped this part of our spiritual journey, this part of our life with God, out of our 21st century conversation about Christianity, about what it is to follow Jesus. But I'm not here to make you feel guilty for not fasting. That's not the point at all. None of this is to make you feel guilty because this isn't part of your life. I'm here to remind you that this is an opportunity for you to sacrifice something good in exchange for the best, which is what fasting is about. Jesus says that fasting comes with a reward. Like prayer, fasting is a part of your intimate relationship with your Father in heaven. But unlike prayer, it should only be done between you and God. Now, Jesus says that our prayer lives are primarily between us and God, but we also know that there were prayer times when he was around other people, that he offered up prayers to God where other people heard. We have times of communal prayer. We know that that's a good and a beautiful thing, but nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that you should invite other people to know everything about your fast, about when you give something up for the sake of hearing from God or dedicating yourself to God. No, fasting is something between you and God. Now, a quick disclaimer, sometimes you might have to tell someone, maybe the people that you live with, that you're going to be giving something up. You know, if someone's has gone out of their way to make, like, this Dr. Pepper cake, and the Dr. Pepper is the thing you've given up, you might want to tell them ahead of time so that they don't take it as a diss towards their wonderful Dr. Pepper cake or something. But you might need to let people know. And so this isn't, again, don't make yourself feel guilty for occasionally letting people know, but the idea is to keep it between you and God. And so what then is this reward from our Father? I think that I can sum it up in one word, and that word is dependence. When we fast, we realize and we remind ourselves that we need God more than we need absolutely anything else in the universe. Now, we know that here. And sometimes we know it here, but sometimes there's a disconnect between here and here in our actions and the way that we actively need God. This is what fasting accomplishes. Fasting can be more than just about food. Even in 1 Corinthians 7, when Paul is giving instructions to a man and wife, he encourages them to at times refrain from each other so that they might devote themselves to prayer. Fasting can be about many things, things that you enjoy, things that are in and of themselves good, like food, but for a time you set aside so that you might chase after what is best. Fasting is not meant to make others see how holy we are. Fasting is not meant, as some have maybe said that it's meant to be, it's not meant to somehow manipulate God into answering our prayers, that if we do these little things and make these little check marks in our prayer life, that our prayer will be more effective and God will be forced to answer every prayer that we offer to him because we're taking this length in our prayer life. No, fasting is a gift from your God to remind you that he is the only thing that you absolutely need. Nothing else in the universe raises to the level of need in your life than your relationship, than your consistent, constant relationship with your Father in heaven. And when we sense in the middle of a fast the need for those other things, we choose instead to press into our need for God. It is again an invitation to exchange or to sacrifice good in exchange for best. And so let me ask you this morning, what is something good in your life that you might be willing to sacrifice in exchange for something better, in exchange for something that's best? What is something good in your life that you might temporarily sacrifice in order to draw closer to a God that is better than anything else you might think you need? Sacrificing good in exchange for best. So let me ask you a question I asked you moments ago. Do you realize how much you need God? Do you need him more than your next meal? Do you need him more than your smartphone? Do you need him more than your television show? Do you need him more than your favorite soft drink, your favorite sport, your favorite hobby, or even your favorite religious habit? Of course you do. Of course you need God more than your next meal, more than all of those things. He literally is your salvation. He is what gives you strength to go from day to day. He is what gives you hope in the midst of darkness. He is literally your eternal life. So of course you need him more than you need all of those other things. So what's the follow-up question? This is the tough one. Why is time with your Father so much easier to give up than television, smartphones, and food? Why is it so much easier to say no to spending time with God than it is to give up those things that we know are good, but not best? Those things that might bring entertainment or comfort or momentary happiness, but we know here and here that we don't need them as much as we need God. Why is it so much easier to give up time with God than it is to say no to those other good things? Because we have become comfortable settling for good while sacrificing what's best. You remember that old TV show? And I know there's been a remake recently and it's back on television, but I'm sure most of you can remember Let's Make a Deal, right? You remember, you were always afraid of the Zonk prize, and what they called it, when it would be some crazy animal or something that you would have to take home, and you had this good prize, and you had to decide, do I want to go for what's behind the other door that I haven't seen yet? Sometimes we trade the evil that we know for the evil that we don't know, right? We're afraid of what might be behind the hidden door, and so we're just going to stick with what we've got and what's comfortable, even though we know there could be something awesome waiting behind the hidden door. And that's what we do in our culture in our day. We find comfort in food. I can testify to that one. We find comfort in entertainment, in our favorite television show. We find comfort in binging for hours on Netflix. That's another thing I could testify with. We find comfort in our soft drinks, in our smartphones, in staring at it for hours. We find comfort in overworking ourselves and not spending time with our family. We find comfort in doing those things that we know in and of themselves there's nothing wrong with. All the while, there's this door with a number on it, and there's someone begging us, the Holy Spirit imploring us to go to that next level. And here's the thing, it's not a risk for you. What's behind that door is better than anything you currently have within your grasp. It's not going to be a Zonk prize. It's going to be something that's more amazing than you can ever imagine. Spending time with the one who you need more than anything else in this universe. So is there something you're willing to give up, you're willing to sacrifice in exchange for the best? When we fast, we realize how much we need that good thing that we are giving up. And we realize that whatever it may be, that it needs to push us into a realization that this thing we need so much, we need God a whole lot more than that. When someone who goes through a literal hunger fast, who goes through a food fast. Imagine Jesus at the end of that 40 days. He knew at the end of that 40 days that he spent in the wilderness fasting, that as much as he needed bread in that moment when Satan was there to tempt him, to give him that bread, he knew that he needed the word of God even more. That's amazing, isn't it? Let me go 4 hours and you put some bread in front of me and I'm going to be tempted. Imagine going 40 days, Jesus does this, but he still knows relationship with God is something that he needs more. And so when we need things, that reminds us that there is something that we need even more. And that's the beauty of fasting. I need God more than I do food. I need God more than I need entertainment, more than I need comfort, more than I need technology or familiarity or the ease of doing things that I do in my everyday life. I need God more than all of that. And that's beautiful. We need that realization. This is not a punishment from God saying you need to give up all this good stuff because I don't want you to have fun. No, it is a reminder and a gift from God telling us, I have so much more to offer. I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. If you drink from my well, you will never thirst again, Jesus tells us. He is a sustenance that never, never, ever runs out and that always satisfies. No matter what else it is in this world, eventually this thing grows old. Eventually the food, if I have it over and over again, I tell people all the time, I could eat Mexican food every day, but I know I couldn't. I know that eventually that taste would get old in my mouth and I would want something new. No, the word of God is like honey to our lips every day that we experience it. And being in the presence of God is something that will never grow tiresome or old if we truly take time to be in the presence of God. And so when we fast, we remind ourselves that this God is so much more than what we are giving up. And what we are giving up is hard to live without. How hard would it be to live without our God? It is a beautiful reminder. What is something good that you can sacrifice in exchange for the best? How free would we be today if we realized that we already have everything that we need in Jesus Christ and that we need absolutely nothing else? How free would you be in this moment if you truly realized and lived like every need that you have ever had is met in the person of Jesus Christ and through his Holy Spirit present with you today? How free could we be if we realize that we already have the best thing that exists living within us in the Spirit of Jesus Christ? How free? We would be free from that desperate feeling of need that comes up that we call hunger for all sorts of different things. We would be free from all sorts of different addictions. We would be free from unmet expectations of that next best thing that's going to cure and satisfy that need that ultimately it grows old and stale. We will be free of pursuing the unreachable, of trying to chase the American dream but never reaching it. We will be free of comfortably settling for something good while what's best remains beyond our grasp.
Our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, is all we need. And he has given us the gift of fasting to remind us of that beautiful, yes, I said beautiful because it is, of that beautiful fact. If we have him, we literally have everything, absolutely everything that we could ever possibly need. Do you realize that yet? If you're like me, you do up here, but sometimes there's a disconnect. You'd like to know that you need God that much. You would like to actively need God as much as you need sustenance, as you need water, as you need the time to relax after a long day at work. You might like to realize that you need God that much, but it's still a struggle. And that is why we fast. That is why we take the time to give this offering, this praise to our God who sees in secret, and will therefore reward us with what? His amazing presence, which is the only thing that we really need. Sacrifice good in exchange for best. What you might have, whatever habit God might be circling around right now in your mind, leading you to say, maybe I could give this up for a time. Whatever that is, God is better. Whatever it is, whether it's Dr. Pepper, whether it's cake, whether it's Facebook, well, I might be in the wrong age group for that one, but whether it's Matlock on television, I don't know, the Andy Griffith Show, whatever it might be. Can I get an amen for the Andy Griffith Show? Anybody in the house? All right. Whatever it might be that you love and you think you can't live without, test that. Realize that you need God more than that, a lot more than that. And this is the beauty of it, and I know this sounds difficult, right? Push yourself into that point where you think, I can't live without that thing, I gotta have it. And then in that moment, drop to your knees, maybe not literally, but drop to your knees in prayer and go to God and say, this is how much I need this thing. I know that I need you so much more. And it will give you an experience that you've never had before, where you realize that you are completely dependent upon this God that gives you the oxygen to breathe, that created you out of the dust of the earth, that you are completely 100% dependent upon him. And in that moment, this sermon, whatever, in that moment you will find beauty. In that moment you will find that fasting is not necessarily a discipline, as some call it, it is. But at its heart, it is a gift from God to remind you of what you really, really need. And guess what? You already have it. That's a gift, and that is beautiful. You are dependent upon God, and God has given himself to you. You need absolutely, absolutely nothing more than you need God. If there is anybody here this morning who doesn't have that relationship with God, who still is in need of God and doesn't have God within you, I would love to show you how to come to a saving knowledge of him this morning. I'll pray with you right here and right now during our invitation. You can hit me up after the service if you're more comfortable with that. And for those of you who do know Jesus, really, what is something good in your life that you might give up in exchange for the best thing that you could ever possibly imagine, even better than what you could imagine? Sacrifice something good in exchange for the best. What might that good thing be? If you need to pray about that with me here at the altar or anything else, please come down and do that during this time of invitation. But really, allow God to speak to you, to lay something on your heart. And then when you fast from it, prepare to see the beauty of your need for God. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Bill and Lynn are going to lead us in the invitation. You move in whatever way God is calling. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. God, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that we know comes from you. But God, guard us against elevating the gift higher than the giver. God, we know that it comes from you, every good thing, because you are the best thing. God, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, Lord, call them to you. For those of us who do, God, remind us of our need for you and why that is good, why that is beautiful. God, show us in the midst of our fast that you are leading us towards whatever it might be, God, that we need you more than we need that thing, and that we have you Therefore, we have everything we need. I pray that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.